In the first church that I ever served, we had an early morning service in the upper room. And each and every Sunday when we would do the greeting, we did it old school. You know where you say the peace of Christ? The peace of Christ. It's the passing of the peace of Christ. But Doris never said that. Doris would come each Sunday and grab your hand and say, "Peace is yours. Peace is yours." It was not so peaceful. And I was always taken a little bit aback. And then one Sunday, I'd had a really rough week. And Doris grabbed my hand and she said, "Peace is yours." And I said, "Doris, I'm not so sure." And she leaned in and she said to me, "God is good. God is working and has and is and will be working for your good. Peace is yours." And it's now over a decade later, and I remember Doris, and I hold on to two things. First, live today on the good God has and is and will do, because it's trustworthy. And the second, make sure and pass that peace to others. Let's talk about that for a moment, but before we do, let's pray together. Holy God, help us become masters of ourselves, that we may become the servants of others. Take our eyes and see through them, take our ears and hear through them, take our minds and think through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire. And all God's people said. In our scripture today, God's people are sure not feeling peace. You see, their king died. And long story short, an enemy land, a king of the enemy land, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, took over. He started building an empire and made Judah a kind of vassal state. And under captivity, he took some of the people from Judah, from their hometown in Jerusalem, and sent them into Babylon, away from their land and their families, from their homes, from their communities. He exiled them to serve them in a foreign land, in Babylon, in a place and with a people they didn't want to be with. It doesn't sound peaceful, and yet peace is the key word in this scripture. This passage is actually a letter from the prophet Jeremiah sent to the people exiled into Babylon to say, "Peace is yours in the middle of this." The word for peace there is shalom. You've probably heard that word. You probably know that word. Maybe you've heard it in a greeting, a hello, or a goodbye. Maybe you've heard shalom when somebody is trying to hold a little peace in a moment of conflict. But shalom is richer and deeper in meaning and practice. Rabbi Safran puts it this way. He says, shalom is not absence. It's completeness. The root of shalom means no longer broken, but made whole. It means not in need, but prospering. It means working against injustice and building justice. Working against violence and developing harmony. Instead of distance and division, shalom means in peaceful relationship with God and ourselves, each other, and all creation. Shalom is well-being. It means flourishing. And it is, dare I say, the very heart of God. Biblical scholars say you can know that because it is the key stream in our scripture from beginning, in the moment we see the Garden of Eden and its flourishing, to the very end in Revelations, where we learn that God will wipe the tears from our eyes and death will be no more. There will be no more mourning, no more crying, and no more pain. And we will feast together in the very end at the heavenly banquet. From the beginning of the story of God to the very end is shalom. It's wholeness, completeness, flourishing for the human family and for creation. That is the promise of our God. That is the very direction of God. That is the ongoing work of God right here with us right now. But here's the thing about shalom. It never belongs to us. It's never individual. It's always tied to connection. It's always tied in community. That by its very nature, wholeness, flourishing, peace is always bound up in relationship. Consider a minute the redwoods, trees. If you've ever been to California among the redwoods, then you know they're 300 feet tall. They're about 20 feet wide. They are some of the largest living things on planet Earth. So one would think their root system to stabilize these giants that have been around for 2,000 to 3,000 years, one would think their root system would have to go down to like Middle Earth. But no. The roots are shallow. They're only like 6 to 12 feet deep. So how do these giant trees, how are they sustained? Especially in times of storms or in times of need. It's because their roots are wide. They grow and extend away from themselves. They ultimately intertwine their roots so they can share nutrients and stabilize each other, support each other. Just under the surface is this huge, supportive, intertwined network. They are literally holding each other up. So if one of those giant trees goes down, sure, there will be pain or peril to some of the others. But conversely, that tree, if it's healthy and its strength, it's going to give more health to more, to more, to more, and then you have flourishing. With the redwoods, their lives, their flourishing is tied up with one another. That is shalom. And you already know this because you have some redwoods in your lives. It might be a parent, or a grandparent, or a sibling, or a mentor, or a neighbor, or a friend, or a coach, or a partner. A redwood, bring them to mind. Someone who nourishes you and supports you and heals you, gives to you, fights for you, works for your well-being, either in a moment or through a lifetime. Can you picture them? Can you picture the redwoods in your lives? Because right now, someone could be picturing you. I do want to say, if you're here today and you feel disconnected, you feel untethered, unrooted, we're so glad that you're here. We want to be connected to you. Because we learn from our infancy that we understand that a flourishing life, our shalom, is like the redwood. That our flourishing is tied, bound up with other people. That is the teaching in the scripture. Jeremiah writes this letter to those exiled from their places, and he uses the word shalom 4 times in a few verses. At the very bottom, which we didn't read, Jeremiah 29, 11, he says that he knows the plan God has for these people. Plans to give them shalom, welfare. Plans to give them hope and a future. So in the words of Doris, he's saying, even in this, peace is yours. Because even while it's not all good, it's not all worked out, God is in this and at work, working towards your good in the direction of shalom. And then he says, you got to pass it. You got to pass the peace, translated in this both as peace and prosperity, the same word in Hebrew, shalom. He says, I know you don't want to be here, but spread your roots, settle down, build houses, plant gardens, marry, have children, begin to flourish right where you're planted, but your roots are meant to support the flourishing of others. In the next verse, he says, work for the shalom of the city. Pray for the shalom of the city, because if they realize shalom, their harmony, their justice, their joy, their healing, their well-being, so will you. He's saying this to people in exile He's saying peace is not found in just fighting and working for your own good, but for the good of others. He says peace is not just found in securing your own home and family, not just in loving your own home and family, but empowering the families of others. He says peace is not found in just praying over you and yours, but for the city. This is the push point of this passage. It's God saying to those from Jerusalem that they are to connect their lives, intertwine and build a supportive system of love and hope and harmony with those from Babylon. He says, extend your roots, your living, your working in support of your city. Work for the flourishing of your neighbors. That is the work and the call and the commitment God is asking of his people. But not just then. It's the same call now. It's at the very heart of God. We flourish together. Jason Brown, NFL offensive lineman, heard that call. He was the highest paid center in NFL history, walked away from a $35 million contract to start farming in eastern North Carolina. When asked in one interview why he would do that, he said, "I wear a size 16 shoe. My brother wore a size 14, and I still can't fill his shoes." He was a faithful servant serving in Iraq and Afghanistan and paid the ultimate price in his service. He said, "One day I got up. It was my birthday. I looked in the mirror, and I couldn't figure out why I wasn't fulfilled. Where was I committed? Where was I willing to sacrifice? Where was I serving?" He said, "I didn't have it." So through his faith, he started discerning, and he heard a call to work in community, and somehow that was farming, which was surprising to even them because he had no idea how to farm. So he bought some acreage and moved his family across the country, and they started farming, and it was super hard because he didn't know what he was doing, and after a few years, they finally harvested some food. The plan was to give half of it away, and he ended up giving it all away. And when he was asked, "Why did you give it all away?" he said this: "How can I realize my dreams when there are those in my community who can't even begin to realize theirs?" That's shalom. And so over time, neighbors and volunteers and nonprofits have joined to help farm what is now over 1,000 acres of fruitful land, helping to feed not just his community, he's now helping to feed communities all along the eastern side of North Carolina, not just with food, but teaching and training and agritourism. And as the farm has grown, he has now started speaking, talking about what he learned in that time. And it is really it really boils down to shalom. He says, "As my family has found flourishing and thriving and fulfillment, as I have found it, the community around me has found more work, more learning, more growth, more stability, more food, more connection, more hope, more shalom. As I have found shalom in the giving and the serving and being part of my community has found more shalom." That is the passing of the peace. It is the very heart of God. So hear this today. Peace is yours. God has promised in and is at work for your good. But will you pass it? Good people of God, how might we, not just you as individuals, but how might we, as this community called St. Luke's, how will we root ourselves right where we're planted in shalom? In a moment, Shelley Clausen, the director of Outreach and Justice Ministries, is going to share how we can deepen the ways we extend shalom into the very corners of our communities. But hear this today, it might mean a shift. Shifting our understanding about flourishing, that ours is sacredly tied to our neighbors. Shifting the ways we work. Shifting how we pray, praying for our city and our communities regularly. It means we lean in together and we get to know our neighbors and we begin to connect our lives, intertwine them in growing support systems, that we would connect our lives in the ways that we work for justice and love and service, because here again, peace is yours. It is our neighbor's. It is ours to share together every day. Every day, shalom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Let your peace rule in my heart. Let your kindness fill my thoughts. Let your strength secure my soul. Let your peace take hold in me. Let your wisdom guide my will. Your compassion fills this place. Let my anxious thought be still. Let your peace rule in my heart. Fear taker, peacemaker to me.
Fear taker, peacemaker. We've invited Shelley to talk a little bit more shalom, and I know that you, Shelley, have been contemplating mm-hmm. shalom and what it means to work and flourish in community with your team. Mm-hmm. Would you share a little bit more about outreach and justice? What do you want people to know about these ministries?
Yeah, thank you, Jen. Thanks for having me today. I've been looking forward to this day. I have three things that I hope you all will take away from this morning. The first is that we have a strategy in outreach and justice. And the second is that that strategy is working and we are making a difference right here in our community. And the third thing is there is room for all of you to be part of this. And so we hope that you will join us in the work of outreach and justice.
So you're going to start with strategy. And I know, Shelley, you love a strategy.
I do love to talk strategy. That's right. We see our community as looking very different because we are here. And so in order to accomplish that, our strategy is to work primarily in four areas of impact. That is education, housing, hunger, and maternal and child health. And we do this along with our United Women in Faith and even with the Connections Books and Gift Store, which I'll tell you a little bit more about later. And we're in the process of reigniting our global ministry as well.
So your strategy starts with four areas of impact, and I love that we know our strengths, but it seems like there's more on the diagram.
Well, it does look a little incomplete, doesn't it? It doesn't quite match what you have in your insert in your bulletin. And that is because it is important to note that while we want to meet the needs of people in poverty right where they are, we also need to work on changing the systems that are keeping them there. And our justice groups work through awareness and advocacy to work towards those kinds of systemic changes that can make lives flourish for all. It's the integration of outreach and justice together that is leading us to biblical justice, the shalom that you were talking about this morning.
What a beautiful vision of community. Okay, you wanted us to know three things. You've talked with us about strategy, but your second point was about impact. Can you share some of the ways that St. Luke's has made a difference?
I love this part. This is what I get to work with every day. And I looked up some statistics that I wanted to share with you about how our community does look different because St. Luke's is right here. Do you know that 1,100 of us St. Luke's people across all campuses, 1,100 volunteers have been involved in the work of outreach and justice over the last year or year and a half? And in so doing, 175 students through Luke's Leaders and Freedom School have been participating in literacy and leadership development. 263 families who are on the edge of eviction have received rent support from St. Luke's. 240 families are coming to our diaper pantry, not just once, but coming back month after month, because not only do they receive diapers, they're receiving hope as well. 1,100 people received a home-cooked Thanksgiving meal last year. 500 kids received Christmas gifts through Angel Tree. 6,000 students received school supplies through Back to School. And Crooked Creek Food Pantry served 10,000 different families last year. That's pretty amazing work. Just to give you a little context, Washington Township, where North Indy is, has about 60,000 households. And if I add up all the numbers I just shared with you, it is pretty close to 20,000 families that St. Luke's has impacted just in the last year, year and a half. That's work that you all have done. That's your cooking and shopping and Christmas present wrapping, your tutoring, yes, your financial support. Thank you so much, St. Luke's, for caring about our community.
So this church really takes seriously its role in community, but can you tell us a little bit more about the justice and advocacy work you mentioned?
Yes, absolutely. As I mentioned, we have justice groups who are working to change systems through awareness and advocacy. So I put together a little list of that kind of work that's also been happening at the same time frame. We have held special awareness symposiums around the topics of housing and hunger, maternal and child health, education and book banning, and gun violence. We have court watchers who go to eviction court every single week to stand up for the rights of tenants. We have a creation care team who works with our church building trustees to make sure that we are really reducing the impact on the environment of our St. Luke's buildings. We are on track to send out 10,000 or more get out the vote postcards right now during this election season. And we've sent letters and postcards to the State House about child poverty, hunger, gun sense legislation, tenant rights, and more. Now, on the surface, in this election season, I know some of those things may sound a little political, but what I want you to know is that as Methodists around the world, we follow our social principles. Social principles look at questions about environment, human sexuality, racism, and more through a biblical perspective. And so if we look at these issues that we're talking about through the lens of our faith, it's pretty hard not to get involved, and we can be really proud of the work that St. Luke's is doing.
So I know that you get to have a front row seat to all of this and all the ways God is working. Where is God leading outreach and justice ministries next?
Well, most of the outreach and justice work that I mentioned is falls under the umbrella of Hub for Hope, which is more than just the diaper pantry. And because of the Making Room campaign that we've been talking about for the last few weeks, I'm really excited that we will be creating a front door to the Hub for Hope right here in our main building at North Indy. This will offer a place of belonging to our community and community partners, not just on Sunday mornings, but on Monday through Saturday as well. And we'll be looking to impact, for the same kind of impact at Midtown and also through our online community. This is a way for us to share our inclusive and justice-seeking mission with neighbors and partners across all campuses.
It's so exciting to hear all this. So how can all of these people get involved or take a next step if they're already involved? What are some next steps?
Ooh, what a good setup, Jen. Thank you for that. I am excited to share with you, and there's a little bit of information on your bulletin insert. We are launching a brand new outreach and justice page on our St. Luke's website. And there are a couple ways you can find it. There's a link right on our homepage. There is a QR code in your insert. If you're online, you can type in stlukesumc.com/outreachandjustice. On this page, this is a one-stop shop for everything about outreach and justice. You can learn about events that are coming up and how you can sign up. You can learn about classes that we're offering that have an outreach or justice bent to them. And you can read or sign up for our new Outreach and Justice monthly newsletter. And that's number two. We have a new Outreach and Justice monthly newsletter. The first issue will be coming out October 15th, and so I hope that you will go visit this website and subscribe to the newsletter. This will be a great place to hear stories of hope about the impact in our community and about ways that you also can get involved. And the third thing that I hope you take away is we have a brand new serve page also on our website. It is right at the top menu bar. If you click serve, this is the quick way to find out ways to volunteer, get involved right now. These are easy things. There's something for everyone. If you want to hear about Angel Tree or Thanksgiving outreach or even how to decorate the church for Christmas, that's the place to go to get involved right away.
Well, Shelley, thank you for sharing all of these things. Any last thoughts?
Well, I do need to give a shout out to my staff team. These people are really who are is helping make all of this happen. Also, on your insert, you will see a lot of our volunteer leaders. These are boots on the ground people leading all the different ministries. And then I really want to thank you at St. Luke's. I'm fairly new here, but you guys have been doing this work for decades. And it's a blessing to join St. Luke's in the work that we're doing in our community. I have been looking forward to today, and it's really been a joy for me to be able to share with you this morning.
So as we think about all the ways that we can further lean into Shalom, I hope if you haven't had a chance to meet Shelley, that you'll take that. She'll be at back.
And my name tag.
She has a name tag, and some of her leaders will be back wearing that. So meet them back there, talk with them, ask questions about ways to lean into the work of outreach, service, and justice. But as we prepare to do that, would you thank with a round of applause?